You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Be talking about Jesus is. It is my goal today and for the rest of this month just to introduce you to Jesus. That's all I want to do. All right? We're just going to be talking about Jesus for the next few weeks. We're going to introduce you to him. Some of you say, I've known Jesus for 30 years, but let me tell you something. There are certain aspects of Jesus that most of us just don't really understand. And to be honest, what I'm going to talk about today, there are aspects of Jesus most of us don't really like. And so today we're going to be talking about some of the weird things that Jesus does. Normally we talk about Jesus and we use terms like awesome and amazing and wonderful. Today we're going to use terms like crazy and I can't believe he did that. All right? Because that's the Jesus I serve and so that's the Jesus I love. But let's look, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. There's a little story about a little man I like to call Zacchaeus. How many of y'all have ever heard the story of Zacchaeus before? Every time I read the story of Zacchaeus, I can't help but think about the song. If you grew up in church, you know the song, right? You sang it in children's church or Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a... The Lord he wanted to... Yes, yes. I have to sing that sometimes, Colt, whenever I try and put Colt to bed, his way of getting out of going to sleep, besides just getting up and walking out of the room, is to say, one song, Dad, if we can just sing one song. And so I say, okay, buddy, let's sing one song. What do you want to sing? He'll say, let's sing Zacchaeus. But he won't sing any of it, right? He makes me sing it, and then I have to stop, and he'll finish the last word. So today we're going to be talking about Zacchaeus. So let's read the story. Let's familiarize ourselves with it. I just thought of something funny. My brain just kind of goes places. I won't say it, though. All right, here we go. Jesus entered, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. All right? He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore fig tree like a little squirrel, just right at the top of that tree. I just see a little man just up there, just hanging out on the branches, right? So he wanted to see him since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come on down out of there. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. When I think about at once, I think of fast, quick, and in a hurry, right? When I think of at once, I think Zacchaeus might have just jumped on down, right? Just hopped right on Jesus' shoulders, just whoop, just like that, right? And so he just hopped on down, and then all of a sudden, verse 7, listen to this. This is where we come in, okay? This is us. All the people, all the church people, all the good people begin to mutter and complain. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Let me tell you what that word sinner there means. That word sinner there, when you start breaking it down, means depraved. That word sinner there means despicable, right? When they say sinner, we think of sinner as just being, yeah, they're a sinner. Well, yeah, okay. I mean, lots of people are sinners. There's nothing wrong with that. But he says they are a sinner. When they say that dude is a sinner, they're talking about he is the worst of the worst. He is terrible. Like, insert cuss word here that would get me in trouble if I said it. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Like, this is not a PG verse in the Greek. In the Greek, this is more PG-13, more R-rated, okay? So they do not like the fact that Jesus is going to be a guest of a sinner. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, this is after they're at the house, Zacchaeus stood up at the house and he looked at the Lord and said, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. One other quick verse, it's not in our notes today, but that is one that a lot of people know already, and that is John 3:16. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, that he sent his only son to pay the price, to die, to be a sacrifice, so that whoever would believe could have eternal life. He didn't say for the rich folks or the good people or the righteous or the holy. He said whoever. That means any of us, right? Any of us. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that this isn't just a book. God, it's your word. You are living and active, and you are able to pierce our hearts today, to teach us something, to help us to be more like you. So, God, today, I pray that you would do just that. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, look, today, I don't want to take a whole lot of time. A lot of preachers say that, and a lot of preachers lie. So today, I really don't want to take a lot of time. Here's what I want to do. I want us to get us out. I want to get us out quickly, but it's for a reason. We've got small groups sign up in the back today. Small groups is the lifeblood of our church. If you're not in a small group, you are missing out. So I want everybody to go back to the back today, have an opportunity to at least look at the small groups, look at the different leaders, those that are here. Some of them are out. My wife is out sick today. Y'all be praying for her. No, scratch that. God will heal her. Y'all pray for me. I got all three kids, all right? So y'all pray for me that I'm patient and I don't throw anybody through a wall. And so today after service, I'm going to dismiss you guys back there to sign up for small groups. Also, today is Growth Track. I'm super excited. We're back on track with Growth Track. We're going to be meeting over at the office. It's my class today. So if you've never been through Growth Track and you want to go through it or you just want to come hang out with me for the next little bit, man, come over there. Let me tell you about the church. I'll tell you about the vision, where I think we're going, and what we're going to be doing. And that way you guys can at least get an idea of what's happening here at Gateway. All right? But in order for us to do this today, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go verse by verse and just talk for a minute. Can we do that? All right, let's do that. Let's look verse by verse. Let's start verse 1. Jesus came to Jericho. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Here's the key point. He was a chief tax collector and wealthy. Let me tell you about this. When we read the story of Zacchaeus, sometimes we think of Zacchaeus as just this guy, this little man that's just down on his luck, right? He's just down on his luck. He's just looking for a savior. He just needs somebody to save his soul. Can I tell you something? That ain't Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. In other words, he is a boss, right? And so Zacchaeus is like John Gotti. Right? Zacchaeus is like a thug. He's a gangster. Zacchaeus is the head of a crime organization. He is a turncoat. He's a Jew that takes money from other Jews and then gives it to the Romans. He's a jerk. He's bad. He will kick your grandmother and take the money out of her purse. All right? This is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is such a thug that he has become the chief tax collector, that even though he's short, he has risen above everybody else in his organization. He's got other thugs underneath him. I was watching this show on the mafia. I really like the mafia. I'm not in the mafia, but I like to watch TV shows about the mafia. Okay? If I wasn't a pastor, I would probably be in the mafia. That's just because it's just cool. You get to wear the suit all the time, right? I don't wear a suit when I preach, but if I was in the mafia, I would wear it every day. I don't know why. That's so random. But here's the thing, that needs to probably be edited. Whoever Shane is, just don't put that on there. Someone's going to think I'm a criminal. All right, so I was watching the show on the mafia. This guy is on there, and he's a former mafioso, right? So he's a former boss, and he's gotten out of the mafia. He kind of lives in hiding, and he goes and talks to people about crime organizations. One of the things he said is you really have two different kinds of people in the mafia. You've got the muscle and the money. You got people that are the muscle. They don't have a whole lot of brains, but they can sure beat yours out of your head, right? So that's their job, is just to beat people up and break legs. And then you got other people that are the money. These are the guys that have schemes. They're always thinking of new ways to make money off of somebody. The money people are the ones that usually rise up in the organization. That is Zacchaeus. He's not going to hurt you, but he's got three or four boys that will do it, right? If you look at Zacchaeus, the fact that he climbed the tree should be amazing because he probably had gold chains like Mr. T all down his neck, right? This is Zacchaeus. He's living large. When you think of Zacchaeus, you need to think of like Snoop Dogg, right? Think of somebody walking around, a bunch of women in whatever kind of bikinis they wore back in those days, following Zacchaeus with his fur coat on, right? That's Zacchaeus. That's Zacchaeus. All right? Straight thug. And so Zacchaeus goes up, climbs a tree. He is terrible. He is bad. And Jesus shows up. When Zacchaeus says, I want to get a look at this man, It says this. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was, so he ended up going and climbing a tree. Zacchaeus didn't need Jesus to come save him. What was he going to save him from? Save him from his big house? Save him from all his money? Save him from all his girlfriends? I mean, what was Jesus going to do for Zacchaeus? Because at the time, you got to think Zacchaeus is not a Christian. He is not a Bible-believing Jew or anything. He's all about the money, right? So that's all Zacchaeus is thinking about. So when he sees Jesus as an opportunity. He sees Jesus as an up-and-coming star. He sees Jesus as somebody that is the next new hot celebrity, right? Because when he sees Jesus, Jesus has an entourage, just like Zacchaeus has. So Zacchaeus says, I want to get to know this fella. I want to see what this guy's all about, because he's doing something. He's a mover and a shaker, and I might need him in my pocket. And so Zacchaeus says, I got to get a look at him. The only way to do it is to climb up in this tree. So he climbs up in the tree. He's checking him out. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Jesus shows up and notices Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is probably the kind of guy that thinks, man, look at me. I'm the best tree climber in the world. I can pick the best spot. I picked the spot that Jesus stopped at. He didn't even think this is all preordained. He didn't even think God's got a plan for his life. He just thinks, look at me, I'm a bad man. I can pick the right tree, right? So then Jesus comes up, and Jesus looks up to him and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Let me throw something at you real quick. That word gladly there is this. Joyfully, Zacchaeus comes down. He sees Jesus. He's excited. He's happy. He's got a big old grin on his face, right? He's loving life. He's thinking, man, this is the best. This celebrity that I wanted to see anyway wants to hang out with me? Heck yeah, so I'm going to go hang out with him. So he gets down, puts his arm around Jesus, right? And him and Jesus are like, they're boys, right? They're walking along and they're happy and he's excited. Let me tell you something about us as church people sometimes. Whenever we see someone like Zacchaeus, bad, thug, jacked up life. We see someone like Zacchaeus and they come to church. You know what we want? We want them wailing and gnashing of teeth, right? We want them coming in crying. Don't come in here happy. You're in sin. Don't come in here happy. You're a bad person. Don't come in here like that. You just went out. You were having sex last night with people that weren't your spouse. Don't come in here like that. Don't come in here happy. You were looking at porn yesterday. You can't be happy in church, right? That's what we think. Y'all don't think that. Maybe I'm the only bad person in here. I think that sometimes. I think that sometimes when I see someone come in church and I know they're jacked up, I want them to be sad. I want them to repent and cry. I want them to get down on their hands and knees and crawl on broken glass to the altar, right? Zacchaeus is like, man, I'm happy. I'm happy. I get Jesus. I mean, I got the guy right here. Look, at some point, this is a little sidebar. At some point, we need to be happy that people are happy. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is good, Zacchaeus is bad, but Zacchaeus wants to hang out with Jesus. How many of y'all think you're good, right? Some of y'all just raised your hand. I didn't really mean for you to do that. My bad. I set you up. I set you up for failure. That's my fault. That's my fault. My bad. All right. Don't raise your hands, but how many of y'all think you're good? Now think about this. How many bad people want to hang out with you? Probably none of them. For the most part, you probably don't even know any bad people. Except for Jim, I think Jim only knows bad people. Sometimes, again, I think of funny things in my head. Sometimes I wish, like, y'all could just see, like, what if when I was preaching, y'all, like, all the words that I was thinking was on the screen right there. There was some of y'all would, like, be inviting all your friends, and others of you would never come back ever again. So Zacchaeus is there, and Jesus is this kind of guy that just disrupts the social norm of the day. See, back in those days, socially, the good people didn't associate with the bad people, and vice versa. And really, are we not like that today? I mean, right off the bat, there's some of you. Look, my dad's a pastor at our Auburn campus. We've got three campuses. He's a pastor at the Auburn campus, and he was talking to his prayer small group the other day, and they were getting ready to pray for the government, and he said, you know what, let's stop right now. Let's not pray for the government, because here's the problem. Some of us need to repent. because we get on Facebook and say so many bad things about the president, and then we come in here and try and pray and act like it's all okay, and at the end of the day, we're wrong, we're hypocrites. Right? Miley Cyrus acts a fool on TV, and we get on Facebook and blow her up, right? And we're saying all this bad stuff about Miley Cyrus, and look how terrible she is. We got local, you know, people, celebrities, people that we know end up doing stupid stuff. They get on the news, and all we can think is bad things about them. And so what we do is we start separating, we're good, and you're bad, and we don't need to come together. And Jesus said, I don't care if you're bad or good. It doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. I want to hang out with you. Like, my goal is to be here. For God so loved the world. He didn't say for God so loved the good people. For God so loved the world, he loved all of us. He loved all of us. John, aren't you thankful that he loves everybody? He loved all of us. And so he just wants to be with everybody, right? And so that's the thing you need to see today about Jesus. He it's okay to be welcoming gladly. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. See, they've separated themselves now. They've separated themselves now. Look, it's like this. How many of you men have ever done the surprise guest thing, right? The surprise guest, you don't know what I'm talking about just yet before you raise your hand, but here's the surprise guest thing. I know you've all done it. Wes, I'm pretty sure you've probably done it. I wouldn't be shocked if you do it like every day. So here's the surprise guest thing. The surprise guest thing is all of a sudden you're out, you're hanging out, and then your friends come over, like you see some buddies, and your friends are like, hey, let's go hang out at your house. Like, we would love to come see your house. We'd love to come hang out with you, right? You know this, and your wife is at home, and she does not know this is happening, right? And you call your wife, and you're like, hey, babe, guess what? Guess who's with me? And she's like, what do you mean, who's with me? And you're like, hey, Brandon and Sarah are with me, and they want to come to the house. And on the other line, your wife is saying, no, the house is a wreck. It's a mess. There's food everywhere and trash on the floor. Like, no, do not bring them. And you're like, yeah, it's great. She's so excited to see you guys, right? Like, it's wonderful. And hey, we're going to be there in 5 minutes, right? So we're so excited. And your wife is on the other line saying, I'm going to kill you. We will not be married tomorrow because you will be dead and I will be a widow, right? And so then you hang up the phone and you get home. And by the time you get home, she has gone in and taken everything and like shoved it into closets and under beds. And, you know, like it looks like someone's sleeping in the bed, but really it's just all your dirty clothes covered up with the blankets, right? You ladies know what I'm talking about. I know you ladies know what I'm talking about. You men are like, that never happens at my house. My house is always clean. Bro, you're messing up big time. Like, you're in trouble right now. Okay? So you get home, and your wife's got cookies in the oven. And you're like, she never cooks. What is this? You know? And then you come in there, and there's, like, potpourri and all that kind of stuff. The house smells good. And what we do is we don't want anybody to know how messed up our life really is. And so we hide all of our junk so that Brandon and Sarah don't see it. I'm not talking about this Brandon and Sarah. This is my friend Brandon, and coincidentally, his wife is named Sarah, and they are visiting this weekend. It has nothing to do with you guys at all. It's just total, just an example that I wanted to use. Instead of us saying, no, you can't come over, like, it's not a good time, right? Like, tonight's the night I want to, Kaysen's in the room, light candles, right? The laundry is dirty. It needs to be done. Amen? And now I get home, my wife's wearing sweats. So this is not a good, no, go away. Go home, go back to your house. We don't say that. We don't speak the truth, right? Because we want people to see us as somebody, as good. We don't want anybody to know the truth about us. So we hide all our stuff. We do the same thing spiritually. We try and cover up all of our bad junk with blankets of good deeds. We try and come in and say, well, we create this badness-goodness scale, and we say, well, I'm better than. At least I don't do the stuff Ray does, right? So therefore, I'm good. Not saying the bad stuff I already do. I'm just saying at least I'm not doing what he does, and so therefore, he's badder than I am. And they did this with Zacchaeus. See, these guys, it's just like the story of the woman caught in adultery. Some of y'all don't know that story, but basically the story goes like this. You got a whole bunch of godly, good people find this woman in adultery. They bring her to Jesus and say, don't we need a stoner? Jesus says, if you got, you know, whichever one of you doesn't have a sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Yeah, stoner. Yeah, kill her. As long as you don't have any sin, just go on and kill her. And then they all leave sad because they all had sin. At the end of the day, they had to realize they thought she was bad, but they were just as bad. Just they had categorized sin. See, we build these categories of sin, and it's like this one is worse than this one is worse than this one. And that's what I love about Jesus. Jesus came in and said, you want to say that adultery is bad? Okay, that's fine. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to say, if you just think about that woman naked in your head, then that's bad too. Like, you're just as at fault of thinking about her as you are of sleeping with her. So you need to calm down your little scales. It's like Zacchaeus climbing the tree. We're like that as Christians. We think if we can just climb the tree, if we can just do more stuff, if we can just get higher in the tree, and if I just pray more, and if I just read more, and I, you know, we're showing God all of our spiritual statistics, and we're saying, God, well, look at the percentages of money I gave this year, and God, look, I prayed for 30 minutes today, and you know, I read 17 chapters this week, and we start going through all this stuff, and we think that makes us better than Zacchaeus. And Jesus comes up to our spiritual tree and he says, get down. I don't care about your statistics. I care about you. I want to go to your house. I want to hang out with you. Come down out of the tree, Christian. Stop trying to build all this stuff. Stop trying to hide all your badness with blankets. Stop trying to compare yourself with other people. And just come down out of the tree and let's go hang out. At the end of the day, Jesus just wants to be with you. He's a friend of sinners, folks. He's a friend of sinners. And he just wants to be our friend today. Let's look. Let's keep going. I'm going to get bogged down right there and y'all going to get mad at me because you won't get the pizza later. It'll be cold. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, this is so great. Because see, something happens between verses 7 and verse 8. Here's a great thing. They're at home. We don't know what happens. We don't know what conversations Jesus had with Zacchaeus. Right? We don't know what he said to Zacchaeus. We don't know what they did. We don't know how long they ate. They could have been there for 15 minutes. They could have been there for 5 hours. We don't have a clue. And I like the fact that the Bible doesn't put that in there because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Zacchaeus is near Jesus. He has relationship with Jesus, and that's what matters. Look at what it says. Look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. Can I just tell you something awesome today? When Zacchaeus gets around Jesus, everything changes. There's this mantra or vision statement or mission statement, whatever you want to call it, that we use for our small groups, and that is this. Life change happens in the context of relationship. In other words, your life won't be changed because you follow a certain number of rules. Your life won't be changed because you read so many chapters. Your life will change in the context of relationships. Whenever you have a relationship with people or with God, all of a sudden things begin to change. We don't know what message Jesus preached. We just know that Jesus sat at the table with Zacchaeus, and all of a sudden Zacchaeus stands up and does two things. He says, Lord. He acknowledges that this man is the God of the entire universe. He stands up and says, I want you to be Lord, Master, King over my life. He acknowledges Christ as Lord without any kind of message that we know of. And then he says, and I'm going to give everything away that I've cheated. I'm going to give up to 400% away, four times 400% away. How did that happen? He just got around Jesus. Jesus is just a friend of sinners. And when Jesus befriends people that never get befriended, then their life starts to change. Amen. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. And some of you are going to say, but Pastor, what about discipleship classes and what about curriculum and what about some kind of training system and what about morality and ethics and what about all this? Look, that's all good. That's good. And the Bible goes into morality and ethics, and it even talks about, you know, how you should dress. The Bible goes into all that stuff, and that's all great. But at the end of the day, if you don't have love, if you don't have a relationship, all that stuff doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Let me prove my point. In Leviticus, I think it's, what is it, 5:16? Leviticus 5:16, you don't really need to see it, I mean, read it, but here's the thing. There's this law in the Old Testament. The law says if you cheat somebody out of money, then you owe them 100% plus 20% on top of that. So you owe somebody 120% if you cheat them. Can I show you what happened whenever Zacchaeus gets in love and as opposed to law? When Zacchaeus finds somebody that's willing to hang out with him, some good man that's willing to sacrifice for him, here's what happens. Zacchaeus says, I know I owe 120%, but I'm going to give 400% away. I'm going to give it all away. Why? Because I've got a relationship with somebody. It wasn't because someone came up to him and said, well, Zacchaeus, by law, what you need to do is... No one said that to him. They just said, he just said, I see this man, and my life has changed, and he's my Lord now, and because he's my Lord, I've got to do something, and I'm going to give 400% away. We talk about tithing here sometimes when we talk about giving, and we encourage you, especially if you're a member, we encourage you to tithe. That's 10% and all that, and that's good. It's a good practice to have. I believe in it. I do it, right? But at the end of the day, your percentage does not impress God. Your heart impresses God. If I tell you only to give the 10%, guess what's going to happen? What if you sit down at your table with Jesus and all of a sudden you feel like you need to give 90%? See, the percentage doesn't matter when it comes to love. The percentages don't matter when it comes to God. Your rules and your regulations, it doesn't matter. I was talking to somebody one time and they said, Pastor, do I need to stop smoking? Is that something I need to do to be a Christian? I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you need to stop smoking for your health, right? A. But B, as far as being a Christian, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. So now what do we do, Christians? What do we do when the Bible doesn't say something about it, right? We just have to make up our own rules. So what I told this person is, you go spend time with Jesus and see what he says about your smoking habit. You go talk to him. If he tells you to quit, he'll give you the power to quit. And if he tells you it doesn't matter, then you can smoke all you want. You'll just die really early, right? Like at the end of the day, you're going to be dead and it won't matter. So he goes and spends time. And you're thinking, I know some people are thinking, but you can't do that. You can't do that because he's going to smoke. And then you're going to have an aneurysm if you keep going. You know, like you need to slow down. And is Jesus enough? Yes or no? Like we've got to answer that question. Is Jesus enough to change our lives? It's a risky thought. What if we just preached Jesus? What if we just showed people the love of Jesus? Before we gave them a rule and a regulation, can I tell you something? My heart hurts when I preach this message. My heart breaks every time I think of this message because I remember one time when I finally got two of my friends to come to church with me. I mean, for years, I was the only kid from my church at my school. And I finally convinced two buddies to come to church with me. We go to church. The pastor gives the altar call. If you want to get saved today, come down. Let's pray. And my two friends get up and walk down to the front. We don't even make you do that here. How bold is that? They walk all the way into the front in a place they don't know. I'm the only person they do know. They get down. They pray a prayer. They stand up. And the first thing I say to them, as a righteous, good person, as a teenager, I struggled in sin all the time. I struggled in sin, but you know what the difference was? My sin was hidden, and their sin was outside. Everybody could see their sin, but nobody could see my sin. So me being Mr. Righteous, the first thing I said to them, they get done praying, they look at me, and I say, all right, boys, now here's the thing. You need to stop cussing. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. And I started giving them a list of rules to follow. As opposed to saying, man, just get to know Jesus. Just let's hang out. Let's get to know Jesus. Let me help you do that. So I give them all these rules. Guess what? They never came back to church again. Then I lost my shot. I moved schools. I changed schools. And I heard through the grapevine that one of them was hooked on drugs by the time he was later on in high school. And I'm thinking, God, forgive me, right? Forgive me for being such a spiritual jerk. Forgive me for being just like these Jews that looked down at the sinner and said, yeah, but you can't do that. You got to have rules and regulations. That's not what it's all about, folks. Jesus is a friend to sinners. Let's look at the last two verses. And then I'm going to pray for us. We're going to leave. The Bible says this. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Let me pause right there. Jesus right away says, "I accept this man. I accept this man." Yeah, but he didn't go through growth track. I don't care. I accept him. Yeah, but he's not on the dream team. I don't care. I accept him. I accept him because he is now a son of Abraham. Why? Because he called me Lord and his life is completely changed. I accept this guy. And then it says, for the Son of Man, this is the kicker, this kicks all the righteous people in the mouth. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He says, I've got one purpose, and my one purpose is to seek and save the lost. I got one thing I got to do, and that is bypass all the good people to find the one bad person. Bypass the 99 sheep and find the one that's lost. Discard the 9 coins that I have in my pocket and look for the one lost coin. I've got to do whatever it takes to find the lost people. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless and weak, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, a good person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's risky. He knew some of us would reject him. He already knew which people in this room today, whenever I ask if anybody wants to give their heart to Jesus, if anybody wants to make him Lord, if anybody wants to allow him to come sit at their table, when I ask that question, he knew there would be some people in the room that would totally reject him. And yet he died anyway. But I struggle sometimes even in church because I think, oh God, we're going to do something for this person, or, you know, this person needs money, or this person needs help doing something. And you know what? To be honest, can we just be real? Because you know me, I'm a sinner. And so my first thought as pastor is, yeah, but what if that person never comes to church again? Like, what if I help them and then they don't even contribute to what we do? Like, have I just wasted the church's money? Have I just wasted the church's efforts? That's my thought. But God's not like me. God says, what if they reject me? I don't care, I'll still die. What if they don't like me? I don't care, I'll still die. I'll still sacrifice everything. I'll still risk it all to go sit at their table. Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, you've got to live for me if I'm going to come to your house. He said, let's go home. I've got to come hang out with you. And if you don't love me, it's okay. I'm still here. I'm still here. Let me give you one more verse real quick. Romans 3:23. This lumps us in with Zacchaeus. Y'all ready? You ready to be lumped in with Zacchaeus? Because when I say this verse, all of a sudden you're gonna have to learn that your goodness and badness scale is going to be thrown away. When I say this verse, you're going to realize that maybe you're not as good as you thought you were. You're not as righteous as you thought you were. You ready? Listen to this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fall short. We are spiritually what Zacchaeus was physically. Short. We all fall short. We all fall short. Does that mean we give up? Does that mean that we can't be righteous? No. I'm going to preach, I think in November, a message about you being righteous. And I believe it. I believe you can be righteous. I believe that God makes you righteous. But I also believe that at the end of the day, no matter how righteous you are still flawed. And you still have issues. Because if we make ourselves perfect, we have no need for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm not perfect. I've got flaws and issues. You got to understand, I repent daily. Not because it's a good thing to do. It's because I know I'm jacked up. I find new things, right? Remember I told you the story about hiding stuff in closets and stuff? Look, honestly, I do the same thing. Like sometimes in my car, I'll let my car get a little bit out of hand. I know that's embarrassing to me. I wish I didn't do it, but sometimes my car gets a little messy. I could blame it on my three kids, and I probably should. Let's do that. Let's blame it on the three kids. My car gets a little bit messy sometimes. But you know what? Someone will come up to me and they'll say, "Hey, Gabriel, can I ride with you over here?" And my first thought is, "Oh, no. Don't do that." And I'll say, yeah, sure, you can ride with me. Just, why don't you go get something out of that room real quick, and then meet me outside. And I run as fast as I can. I get outside, and I'm just grabbing stuff and throwing it in the very far back of the car, shoving stuff under the seats, right? And then one day, as you're driving along, I find that cup that used to have milk in it of Colts. You know how I find it? Smell it. And I have to go searching for it. Same thing happens with us. Sometimes we think we're so good and so clean until we find that dirty cup under the seat. And all of a sudden we have to search for it. We find it. We say, "Oh God, I repent. Oh man, I'm so sorry." But here's the cool thing about God. He loves us anyway. Like, he doesn't even care that there's dirty stuff under the seat. He just says, "Can I still ride with you? Like, at the end of the day, I know your car's a mess. I can see it. I'm like Superman. I can see through your seat. I see the dirty cup. And I still love you." Everybody say this. Say, "I am Zacchaeus." Say, "I am a sinner." And I say this. Say, "Jesus is a friend to sinners." And I say this. "Jesus is my friend." Isn't that great? Isn't that great that no matter what you've done, he still wants to be your friend? No matter what you've been through, he still wants to be your friend. He still wants to be with you. Jesus is a friend to sinners. For those of you today that are not serving God, he is not the Lord of your life, right? He is not king over your little kingdom. I'm going to give you the opportunity today to accept him, to stand up like Zacchaeus did and said, "I accept you as Lord." Zacchaeus' life was changed. His life was changed because one man took the risk of eating dinner with him. One man took the risk of dying on a cross so that your heart could be changed, so that your life could be changed, so that your purpose and your destiny could be rerouted to his purpose and destiny for your life. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. But for us Christians that are so righteous and holy, can I just pray for us today that we'll come down out of our trees? You know what I need to pray for some of us? That we meet some bad people. We need to meet some bad people. We need to befriend them. We need to hang out with them and show them the love of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.